This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The man in the know, and certainly it's been a busy time at the University of Miami, transfer portals, all this talk about chief of staffs, all this great stuff going on. Andrew Ivins always on the top of things. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Andrew, thanks so much for taking the time on this always busy time for the University of Miami.
Yeah, it seems like it never stops, right? Every offseason there's something new, and Manny has done it again. He's made a splash in the transfer portal, and in really three of the best, I think, that were available at three positions of need, and Houston quarterback Derek King, Temple defensive end Quincy Roche, and then FIU kicker Jose Borregales. So if you're a Miami fan, I mean, why wouldn't you be excited?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like a deja vu, like a little bit of, going back to last year. We were here, schedule came out, we're going 12-0, and same thing would happen today. The schedule comes out, and everywhere you go on that website, Miami ain't losing a game, and we're coming back to this whole thing, but the reality kicks in that you are playing, teams that, especially the teams that you lost to at home last year, like Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech, that you got to go on the road. And yeah, you play Wagner, but you play a UAB team. You know, I mean, all bets are off when you lose to Louisiana Tech and to FIU. So, I mean, anything's capable of happening. But certainly, like you said, you start out with a little bit better feeling this year because you have 13 kids that came in early. You have a new offensive coordinator, which we did last year, but you have a new offensive line coach who coordinates himself with that offensive coordinator. And when they make that hire at Wagner, wide receiver, I'm sure it'll be somebody that Rhett Lashley is familiar with, somebody that he can trust, somebody that's on the same page as he is. And certainly you come into the offseason and into spring with a lot better understanding of what this team could be like. Talk about that, because now you've got an offensive coordinator who I think is going to not only bring in the groceries, but get a chance to cook them too.
You're right. I mean, we could go back to this time last year, and the excitement would be just the same. But the first thing I want to point out is we know what Derek King can do.
Yes.
We've seen what he did. I mean, the folks at Pro Football Focus graded him out as the second best quarterback in college football in 2018. I mean, he accounted for 50 total touchdowns. He was unreal. I mean, there was some hype behind Tate Martell, but we'd only seen him in mop-up duty for Ohio State. So I think this is what Miami's been trying to do since Manny took over, kind of find that quarterback. I think Manny just wanted someone who can make plays, and this was probably the best option that was available for Rhett Lashley's offense. I mean, you're going to spread it out, go wide open, get the ball in space, and I think Derek is the guy for that. And he can kind of mask a bad offensive line. So now there's not that much of concern about the offensive line play. Does that group need to get better? Absolutely. But this year, Miami enters the season with, I think it's six kids who started at least one game. And that might not sound like much, but, when they played Florida, only three kids had ever started a game. And they were starting
right.
two freshmen. So it's completely different. We'll see if this works. I mean, I think Manny knew the pressure was on. You can't lose to FIU. You can't lose to Louisiana Tech and enter that next season thinking that your job's secure. So he needed to make the moves, and he's made the moves I think he's needed to make. I mean, I would give him an A+ just for this first month of the offseason. We'll see where it goes from here, but things are trending in the right direction, in my opinion. And you know what? he didn't need Alonzo Highsmith to do it. So.
Yeah, okay. I hear that. Andrew Ivins joining us from 247. And then also, too, the very fact that, as you said, you get more kids coming in early. So, and we've seen what, you know, just judging by kids that came out of this area and that have gone away to other schools and went away early, and then you see them again in, like, June or May, and they go, wow, you know, and bigger, stronger, faster, more, you know, more mature. And that's what that does, because you come into this semester of college and it's still a very crowded semester where there's a full student body walking around. So it's not like the summer when you come in with a quarter of the people around. Now you're taking classes that are full. You're going around having to, you know, acclimate yourself. A lot of these kids have never been away from home, so they get a chance to be on their own and make their decisions, start to make their decisions. So when they become, or when you come up to August and you start your summer camp, that these kids are basically almost sophomores and they're more mature and they get a chance to at least have this under their belt. They didn't have enough of those last year. So when the rest of the freshman class came in June, you know, that you had to start that process all over again. This year, as I said, you have, I think, 13 kids that come in early, plus the transfer portal kids, the Eric King taking classes already, Borregales taking classes already. And then you have that infusion of kids that we saw, like Jalen Rivers, who I think is going to be just a phenomenal player if he stays the course and stays healthy. Talk about that, because you're so far ahead, as you said, from last year in so many aspects that you give yourself a better chance coming out of the box than you had in the last couple of years.
Two things. I mean, the first is you keep bringing up the early enrollee number, and it was, I think they had three last year. This year it's 13, and it's actually going to be 14 because they got Keyshawn Smith, the kid who committed the other night from out of California,
Washington.
The former Washington State signing. He's supposed to be starting classes, so that's 14, and that's huge. And the big thing is you get these kids in a David Feely strength program. You know, they've talked about that 545 lifting group, but you start filling out these bodies, get these kids in front of nutritionists. So that's huge. And if there's really one position group where Miami needs to get as many bodies as they can in, I think it's wide receiver. And now they're going to have four early enrollee wide receivers. And that's huge, seeing as they're transitioning from a pro-style look. I mean, I know there was a bunch of three wide receiver sets, but, I mean, they're going to go five wide at times this fall, or they at least should, or they want the capability to do that. So getting a guy like Xavier Restrepo in or Michael Redding and Daz Worsham is huge, because you're going to know what you have. So I think that's good. And everyone in that wide receiver room is now on the same page. I mean, it's a clean slate. I mean, everything's been wiped out. I mean, if you're a guy who got chewed out by Dan Enos, well, Dan Enos isn't here anymore. So Rhett Lashley's going to give you a chance. And I'm excited to see just kind of how that group progresses and what we see out of them this spring during those 15 practices.
And, Andrew, we also had playmakers last year that really never got in the flow. The Wiggins kid, who we saw have a really good couple of games, and all of a sudden he disappears. Mike Harley, who had some good games, and then all of a sudden the passing game disappeared. Your tight ends, who obviously are as good as any in the country when they're healthy. And then you have somebody like Mark Pope, who we watched play for 2-3 years in high school, who dominated when he needed to. So you have those kids. How much of a difference is it going to make to them? Because I think that this new offense will highlight them and will keep them in the mix at all times.
You know, I was doing like a radio hit somewhere else in the Southeast, and they asked me, I mean, is talent the issue at Miami? And I'm like, it's absolutely not. I mean, the talent is there. You just rattled off a bunch of guys who were four and even some five-star recruits. Like, Miami has the talent. They just haven't put these kids in the position to succeed. Now, we thought Dan Enos might be that guy. I mean, remember, he was the one who helped tutor to Tagovailoa at Alabama. Well, I mean, as the season progressed, the wheels kind of came off, and that didn't happen. I think Rhett Lashley's a guy who's going to feed the ball to his playmakers. I mean, you look at what he did with James Prosise at SMU this past season. I mean, that kid caught 100 balls for 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns. So, you'll never know until, you know, the bullets start flying what's going to happen. But there's reason to have some faith in, giving a guy like Mark Pope a chance to be a featured wideout. So that's big. And I think kids are excited that Rhett's there.
Yeah, no doubt. Defensively, obviously there's a couple of key losses linebacking wise, but they got some good looks down in the middle of the year with some of the kids that are young, like Sam Brooks, who really showed some really good glimpses. You had a Rousseau who did an awesome job up front, still technically behind, but he's a big body and he's athletic and he's certainly learning and he gained a lot of weight and he's just a strong kid. And then certainly in the secondary, where you, as you mentioned, the talent is not the problem. They have a lot of good kids, good safeties. Corner wise, they're thin, but certainly getting better. Defensively, I don't think it could be a problem. I think that because Manny's more geared to that side of the ball, and you know when he was the coordinator, he kind of ran that kind of tight ship. I'm not kind of worried. I think the defense will kind of come around and take care of itself.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare the numbers from 2018 to 2019, there wasn't much of a drop-off. And I'm not expecting one in 2020. I mean, you do got to think that the defense will probably be on the field a lot more just because they're shifting to an up-tempo offense that could very well run 80 plays a game. And that means your unit's going to be out there. So depth is going to be very important. But I do agree. I mean, there's going to be a ton of star power on this defense. Greg Rousseau is going to be a household name, I think, next season. Now you're pairing him with Quincy Roche, the kid from Temple who had 13 sacks this past season. So if you're an opposing offensive coordinator, I mean, you can't scheme around both of them. So, I mean, one of them is going to go off probably a game or two this season. So the question marks for me are linebacker and striker. I think Romeo Finley, him graduating isn't talked about enough. I mean, he's been a key guy in that defense the past 2 years. Now it's going to have to be Gilbert Frierson. And, you know, the coaches played Gilbert Frierson in a lot of key moments this season. I mean, he was on the field against Florida. He got a lot of reps. So they're going to need him to step up or maybe potentially move a guy like Amari Carter into the box. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But, yes, I mean, talent-wise on defense, the way they've kind of built this thing where – it's next man in, and as long as you play fast and you make tackles, then that unit should succeed.
Good stuff. And they have a kicker. Thank goodness they have a kicker. Yeah. And an accurate kid. You know, and that's setting the table for his brother. So the next 4 years or 5 years could be really good for kicking game. And, you know, if they had a kicker last year, they would have won three more games without question. All right, Andrew, thanks so much, man. Take care. We'll talk to you on Friday night.
All right, we'll see you, Blue.
Good seeing you. Andrew Ivins, 247, check him out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.